This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the prevailing opinion seems to be that Nick Caserio is going to do some moving around, and the direction in the draft. I say moving around, moving off of the 25th pick overall, which should come as no surprise to anybody, really. Nick Caserio is among the most active GMs when it comes to trading within the draft. I don't know that there's a GM who's done it more than the Houston Texans have during the four drafts that Nick Caserio has been part of here in Houston, Texas. So the latest one, though, is Albert Breer. Albert Breer, and we'll get to Jeremy Fowler and what he has to say in a second. Let's run this through the Payne and Pendergast filter. Albert Breer, yesterday, talked quite a bit about some of the offensive linemen in the draft. And then this is sort of an empty the notebook kind of column that he has, where he's got all the stuff that he's hearing, all the smoke and noise that he's hearing, and he puts it in a column here. And he says this: speaking of offensive linemen, we have another team that has at least started sniffing around on a trade up. That's the Houston Texans. It's no secret that Houston needs offensive line help, and I'd expect the Texans to target strong character players as they continue to remake that room. This is where I point out that Albert Breer is the reporter who reported toxic culture inside the offensive line room. So him reporting strong character players kind of ties into his previous reports about what the offensive line room used to look like. He goes on to say, with the possibility that Will Campbell, Armand Membu, and Kelvin Banks are all gone inside the top 10, the next group of linemen could get moved up the board a bit. And the Texans have two teams in front of them, the Packers and the Vikings, that could take an offensive lineman. And they're directly in front of the Texans. Packers 23, Vikings 24. Thanks to the Tunsil trade, the Texans do have three picks on day two. They've got an extra third. And so they've got an extra pick on day two to work with. I could see where that sets up, this is Breer talking, for a short move up, potentially to try to land someone like Gray Zabel, or if they're feeling froggy, and include 2026 picks. We got an extra two next year. Maybe a more significant move up the board to get Kelvin Banks. One player I've heard the Texans have done plenty of work on is Donovan Jackson, the guard out of Ohio State. We should mention we did our daily mock draft injection at 7:45. It was a Peter Schrager mock draft. Peter Schrager, now with ESPN, very plugged into the NFL scuttlebutt community. He has the Texans taking Jackson at 25 for what it's worth. Breer says, again, right now this is just sniffing around, and it's notable because there aren't a lot of teams looking to climb in the draft order this year. So that's Albert Breer's assessment of the situation right now.
The character side of things is important, and I think there's a few guys that jump out at the potential 25th selection or maybe higher than that. Tyler Booker has been gushed about as a high character guy, the guard out of Alabama. Wide receiver, Ibuka, out of Ohio State, has been gushed about. Donovan Jackson is widely regarded as a team-first guy with a really strong work ethic and all of that. I think that at Ohio State, he's probably a little outshone just by Ibuka, because Ibuka seems to be in that Will Anderson category of people are just talk about him as the complete and total package when it comes to the leadership and all of that. But Donovan Jackson, you see multiple positive references to him and the way he operates. So those guys all make sense because they're anywhere in that midway through the first round down to the top part of the second round type of players.
Yep. Jeremy Fowler weighs in, ESPN.com. He's doing an empty the notebook thing here today as well. And he's got a question in here. Which teams could make trades? And he talks about the Browns a little bit, maybe moving off. They're getting calls about the number two pick, as Peter Schrager reported, Jeremy Fowler says. So that's nice. He's patting a new teammate on the back, and Peter Schrager there for reporting that. Things are quiet out of Cleveland. So Cleveland is number one on his who could make trades. Number two that he talks about here is the Houston Texans, who are picking at 25. They are, this is Jeremy Fowler, they are calling into the top half of the first round to potentially move up. All right, so there's a firm like Nick Caserio's making phone calls. You could guess that. It probably wouldn't be hard to guess it, but Fowler is reporting that. While their target is unclear, one NFC executive predicts Houston is interested in Kelvin Banks, trying to solve a clear need at offensive tackle. Teams behind Houston are also hearing from GM Nick Caserio. None of this should be surprising to any of us. I'm just saying here right now, but I'm just going to continue to read Fowler here, and then we can opine on this. So it's possible the Texans are just doing their due diligence across the board, Fowler says. The Broncos are also looking to move up. They're number 20. The San Francisco 49ers have been linked to trade rumors. There isn't much buzz around the Niners making a move. They're picking at 11. If San Francisco targets D-line, the 11th pick is a good spot to find somebody there. So the Texans are, he only mentions four teams, and the Texans are one of them right now.
Yeah, and this is, and you always have to remind yourself this time of year, right around this time a couple years ago, all of these same Nugget hussies were starting to feel like there's a really good chance the Texans aren't taking a quarterback at all. So I don't know. It feels, Jeremy Fowler himself, who you just quoted, he was the guy that said, remember, it was his tone in the way he said, nobody knows what the Texans are doing. He was quoting an unnamed executive who I'm guessing texted him. And I think the executive probably said, nobody knows what the Texans are doing. Fowler presented it in such a way and in a context that it made it sound like the executive saying, like, nobody knows what the Texans are doing.
The Texans don't know what they're doing,
Basically, the Texans don't know. Like, what the hell are they doing?
Right.
Like, okay, you guys don't know. Nick Caserio's making calls. And, oh, he's making calls to GMs who are in the top 15. Yeah. Oh, you know what else those GMs also have? Picks in the second through seventh rounds.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. I'd still be surprised if they trade that aggressively into the top 15.
Yeah, I think the most significant thing to come out of these reports, and I'll include Daniel Jeremiah in there, who multiple times now has linked Kelvin Banks to the Texans. That, to me, is the one thing that is, that of all this stuff that is, again, it's lying and it's smoke and it's Nugget hussies, it's all this stuff. There's a grain of truth somewhere in there to some of the stuff, so I'm going to acknowledge that guys do get it right. I mean, hell, Daniel Jeremiah called the trade last year or 2 years ago that the Texans made to get Will Anderson. So there are kernels of truth out there in the muck, Seth. All of these guys so far have mentioned Kelvin Banks' name with the Texans. Breer mentions Kelvin Banks. Jeremiah says that Kelvin Banks won't make it past the Texans from what he's hearing. Jeremy Fowler's another one here who mentions that there's executives around the league that are predicting Banks to the Texans. So and I'm not saying that Kelvin Banks is going to wind up a Houston Texan for sure. They may not have any control over that, but that's a lot of these guys that are mentioning one particular player's name. I think there's something there with that.
And it is, you know, and that's where that could come from. For multiple different reasons. I mean, okay, it was one NFC executive predicts Houston is interested in Texas's University of Texas's Kelvin Banks.
Yep.
Is that a GM who is actually like sitting around at UT's pro day, which the Texans attended, or something, and kind of had a conversation with Nick about Kelvin Banks or one of the Texan scouts? Who knows?
Yep.
Or it could just be him saying, "Oh, that fits a need, and it would make sense." I think that it's interesting that they keep describing Banks as a tackle and the Texans have a need at tackle, because I think there's a chance that the Texans might draft Banks and start him out at guard and see how he does at guard. There's still the dynamic of Titus Howard being able to play tackle or guard. So that's where I really just take a huge grain of salt when it's people trying to connect the dots for what the Texans need and don't need. I would personally, game one of the first season of the NFL, I don't care if they draft Will Campbell or Donovan Jackson or Kelvin Banks. Cam Robinson is probably your best option in week one at
left
tackle.
Yeah.
I think people are sleeping a little bit. It's almost like Cam Robinson, because he had a bad stretch at Minnesota, are ignoring his pretty consistent play in Jacksonville. And that they're looking at it as more of a drastic and immediate need than it actually is. Well, now, if you can get a good offensive tackle for the long term, by all means, yes. But it doesn't mean that they're that desperate for it right this moment.
Well, follow the money, too, just in terms of the 2025 season. I mean, Cam Robinson is not getting paid what Trent Brown's getting paid. Trent Brown's getting $3 million. That's a cuttable guy. Like, Cam Robinson is getting $12 to $14 million. Like, he's getting paid like a mid-tier offensive tackle, a starting offensive tackle, you know? So I'm not saying he can't lose the job, but as far as maybe what the Texans are envisioning in their mind, what it's going to look like in week one, I think there'd be big surprise if Cam Robinson's not the left tackle for this team.
The fact that they gave him that contract.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Which isn't a huge contract, and it's only 1 year, but that is the kind of contract that you give to a guy that you're comfortable if he's starting.
Yes.
And that you don't feel desperate that we need to draft for need right this moment, unless it's a guy we feel real. The Texans are in a position where they're not going to draft out of desperation. And if there's an offensive tackle that they can go and get that they feel like has a chance of being good for the long term, yeah, they'll go get him.
Yeah.
It's just that they're not, it's not going to dictate everything.
No, the
current needs are not as desperate at left tackle as I think a lot of people feel like the Texans would feel they are.
You're right. They drafted Blake Fisher when I don't even know if the extensions for Tunsil and Titus Howard had kicked in yet. You know? You're right. They're not afraid to take those guys, but as far as the chances of them starting, I think Cam Robinson's going to wind up being the starter. We've got, let's play this one here and then we'll get to the text page. Here was Daniel Jeremiah, as long as we're talking about Kelvin Banks, a tackle for University of Texas, possibly going to the Houston Texans, or the Texans possibly trading up to go get him. Here was Daniel Jeremiah with Mina Kimes talking about Banks possibly going to the Texans.
But what if they added Emeka Ibuka?
CJ Stroud might have something to say about that. I don't know. CJ would like, I would like to be a little better protected than I was last year, but I wouldn't mind throwing to my friend. And Emeka Ibuka.
I think you need for them.
Yeah, I think I would have to take Banks. I have a little higher grade on Ibuka. It's close, but I don't see how they leave that round without an offensive lineman. So I'm going to go offensive lineman.
Okay.
I was told the Houston Texans will not pass on Banks if he was there.
Okay. So there's that. Yeah. He kind of throws in at the end, like, oh, and here's my information that backs up my opinion right there. Good job. Good job, Daniel Jeremiah.
Daniel Jeremiah, you know, Kelvin Banks is 29th on Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 or top 50, excuse me. And I wonder if I think Kelvin Banks probably has different grades on a lot of different boards as to how highly they think of him. And I think that I could see Kelvin Banks being a guy theoretically where maybe the Texans look at him as, man, we don't really think of him as a traditional top 15 pick at offensive tackle, but we sure do think of him as a 15th or 16th or like 15th, 16th, 17th overall pick at offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And maybe that's their limit for how aggressively they'd want to trade up for him.
Yeah. Again, you know, they've got extra draft capital from the Tunsil trade, an extra third this year and an extra second next year. And Nick Caserio in the last two off seasons, he's made deals with extra draft cap. They had extra draft capital galore in 2023. They used it to move up and go get Will Anderson. They had an extra second-round pick that they picked up from Minnesota that they used to go get Stephon Diggs. Using extra draft capital that they got in previous trades to move up and go get guys and almost use it as like found money has been a big part of what Nick Caserio has done the last couple of years with some of the biggest deals that they've made. Let me throw an either or at you, Seth. I'm going to give you, if you're trying to win money here on this one here. All right, I'm the house. I'm going to give you the choice of you can have Tyler Booker, Kelvin Banks, and Donovan Jackson, that group of three, or the field, everybody else. And you've got to pick which choice includes the Texans' first-round pick. You get Tyler Booker, Kelvin Banks, and Donovan Jackson as a group.
Oh, okay.
Or every other college player out there.
Okay, which, so it's going to be one of those three or somebody else.
Or somebody else. That's the choice, yeah.
That's a great question. And this is where I fall victim to all those things that I'm trying not to fall victim to, which is all this scuttlebutt.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a really good chance that one of either Donovan Jackson or Tyler Booker will be available at 25.
Yeah.
I think Kelvin Banks might be available outside the top 15, and the Texans would trade up for him.
Yeah, however they get them. Yeah, doesn't have to be a 25.
So this is tough. I always take the field, but you've added those three players to it.
Yeah.
You've still got a Buka sitting there and Matthew Golden, who also at 25.
Yeah.
Connerly. Potentially. Like, those guys could easily be there at 25.
Sure.
I'm gonna take those three players.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm falling victim to the scuttlebutt, Sean.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
I'm a sucker for rumors.
It's a coin flip for me, man. Like, cause it's every other player. You know, it's every other player. Booker, Banks, Donovan. I'm curious what the listeners feel. Should I put that up as a Pender poll? Is that a good Pender poll?
Yeah, and I'm okay. I go back. I didn't take my hand off the checker.
You did.
I'm sliding it back to the field.
Okay, you go. Yes. All right, field. Yeah, if you're a field guy, you got to stay. Like, if you hit on 16 at a blackjack table against a face card, don't become a stay guy. You know, like, yeah. If you just keep hitting, that's what you do.
Give me half a beer, and I would have been all in on those three. But I'm stone cold sober right this moment.
Speaking of, a lot of people
at least
wake
by, according to my BAC calculator.
That's right, your breathalyzer.
Stop drinking at 5:30 a.m. Yeah, yep. I should be good now. Yeah.
A lot of people weighing in on bar fights. Bar fights morphed into drive-bys and road rage. That's from Jimbo in H-Town. Someone says rural areas are still a place to find a good bar fight. We're not looking to find a good bar fight. We're just curious if they still exist out there.
It just seems like people don't get into fights as much as they used to in bars. But we also, I'm not in bars late hardly ever anymore.
Same. Yeah. 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 As you can imagine, there's a lot of Gen Z is soft going out on the text page. On the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. All right. One of my sons weighed in on this. My older son, James. Says, I asked him, have either of you, him and his brother, ever been in a bar fight? We're wondering if people bar fight anymore. Me and Seth are wondering that. He says, like, actually thrown hands? No. He says, I've come close to, but it's hardly worth it nowadays. Too many phones to incriminate you if you win.
Oh, yeah. The incrimination factor. Yeah. I was thinking about not wanting to go viral, but also, yeah, there's clear evidence of everything you did.
Yeah. He said the risk reward, and this is my analytical son talking, the risk reward is almost zero. I'm just picturing James in a bar, like, trying to calculate what the risk reward is on punching a guy in the face.
Hold on a second, Brute. Brutus, I have to calculate my...
One second, I got to go to my app here that calculates the risk reward on me trying to kick your ass.
Bluto, that was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, Bluto. Yeah. James said it would take something blatantly disrespectful or involving a significant other for me to throw hands. Very chivalrous of you, James. Significant
other.
Yeah,
that's very hypothetically heroic of you.
Very hypothetically chivalrous, yes. hypothetically throwing your coat down over mud puddles for her as well. Yeah.
I always hypothetically make the noblest of decisions in my mind.
Kicked so much hypothetical ass in my life, I'm telling
you. Dude, every movie I've ever watched, I am hypothetically 100% doing the right thing, okay?
Yes.
Even when people are put into morally impossible situations, I do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Got a couple people on the text page asking about a possible player on the trade block from another team. Would the Texans be interested? I'll hit that. We'll hit that in the next segment. Also, we've got Texans from yesterday, new Texans yesterday, and current Texans talking about their new teammates, talking about their new friends, specifically new Texans on C.J. Stroud. What are their impressions of their new quarterback? We will get to that and a whole lot more as we roll on here in the 9 o'clock hour coming up next.